This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, and the esteemed listeners, we concluded yesterday on a very, very emotional note, and that was the discussion between Fatima radiallahu anha and Nabi alayhi salam as she observed his blessed soul departing from his body. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. So the souls of the pious, Allah speaks an oath, it's just untied, it's just unleashed, and then it naturally departs. If that's the souls of the pious, then what do you say about the being that is the most pious of all beings, and that is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we touched on the couplets of Fatima radiallahu anha, and how natural poetry was in the lives of the Sahaba. You know, and how easily they embraced death. How easily they embraced. Khubayb radiallahu anhu, when he was killed by, you know, قَتَلَ خُبَيْبًا أَبْنَاءُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ قَتَلَ خُبَيْبًا أَبْنَاءُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ. Those prominent leaders who were slain in the battle of Badr, their sons, their descendants, their offspring, had then killed and assassinated Khubayb radiallahu anhu to avenge the death of their parents, etc. So Khubayb radiallahu anhu then asked them, allow me to perform two units of prayer. And he was the first to initiate the practice of performing two rakat salah before being executed on the name of Allah. أَوَّلُ مَنْ سَنَّ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ عِنْدَ الْقَتْلِ خُبَيْبِ. The first who initiated this noble practice. And then he engages in the salah. Understand for a moment. I know when I'm traveling and you want to board a flight, Allah forgive us, that prayer is not focused, your mind is not there. Not to say that when we don't have to board a flight, we focused, but somewhat probably we are a bit more in, aligned in our prayer. Now, either you anticipate in a phone call, or you're going to hop onto a flight, or food is just ready, or somebody is coming home to receive you, or there's something, there's a degree of anxiety that has gripped your mind, and because of that, you are unfortunately not focused in your prayer. Khubayb radiallahu anhu is performing salah, and post the prayer, they are going to assassinate him, they are going to kill him. And then he gets so engrossed and immersed in his prayer that he's just carried away into it. And then he cuts it short, you know, abruptly. And he wraps his salah up. And he says, لَوْلَا أَن تَظَنُّوا أَنِّي إِنَّمَا طَوَّلْتُ جَزَعًا مِّنَ الْمَوْتِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِّنَ الصَّلَاةِ. The only reason I ended my prayer shortly, briefly, lest you interpret the prolonged nature of my prayer as my fear and apprehension towards death. Otherwise, I would have just continued praying. And then it was a day for it was a day of joy for them. They had gathered the families, the young and the old, to witness. They hung him on the trunk of a tree. And then, you know, they cold-bloodedly killed Sayyidina Khubayb radiallahu anhu. And as they lift him and raise him and hang him on this tree, he sings along. I understand this. If I were to tell you, compose few couplets in your native language, in your vernacular, be it English, be it whatever your language is, you need to be cool, you need to be relaxed, you need to be sitting at the ocean, it's blue sky, birds chirping, lovely weather, bright sunny weather, and then probably you're going to brainstorm and apply your mind back and forth, chop and change, and then maybe you'll come out with few stanzas. He's been literally lifted on the tree to be executed. And for everybody, it's a day of joy. And he's about to leave this world. وَاسْتَجْمَعُوا كُلَّ مَجْمَعِي فَقَدْ جَمَعُوا أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وَقُرِّبْتُ مِنْ جِذْعٍ طَوِيلٍ مُمَنَّعِي إِلَى اللَّهِ أَشْكُو غُرْبَتِي ثُمَّ كُرْبَتِي وَمَا أَرْصَدَ الْأَحْزَابُ لِي عِنْدَ مَصْرَعِي فَذَا الْعَرْشُ صَبِّرْنِي عَلَى مَا يُرَادُ بِي فَقَدْ بَضَّعُوا لَحْمِي وَقَدْ بَانَ مَطْعَمِي فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلْ مُسْلِمًا عَلَى أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَصْرَعِي وَذَلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَهِ وَإِنْ يَشَأْ يُبَارِكْ عَلَى أَوْصَالِي شِلْوٍ مُمَزَّعِي وقد خيروني الكفر والموت دونه وقد هملت عيناي من غير مجزعي وما بي حذار الموت أني لميت ولكن حذاري جحم نار ملفعي فلست بمبد للعدو تخشعا ولا جزعا إني إلى الله مرجعي. My word, it's just beyond me. When I had read these couplets the first time, it was irresistible not to commit it to memory. وَاسْتَجْمَعُوا كُلَّ مَجْمَعِي. People have come out in their numbers. فَقَدْ جَمَعُوا أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ, male and female. وَقُرِّبْتُ مِنْ جِذْعٍ طَوِيلٍ مُمَنَّعِي. And they have hung me on this trunk of the tree. إِلَى اللَّهِ أَشْكُو غُرْبَتِي ثُمَّ كُرْبَتِي. I present my feebleness and my situation and my crisis to my Allah. وَمَا أَرْصَدَ الْأَحْزَابُ لِي عِنْدَ مَصْرَعِي. And whatever they have gathered up and whatever they have plotted to kill me and assassinate me, I present my case to Allah. The truth be told, فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلْ مُسْلِمًا. Because he requested to be faced towards Qibla and they turned him away. He said, it doesn't matter, as long as I know I die on the name of Allah. وَإِنْ يَشَأْ يُبَارِكْ عَلَى أَوْصَالِي شِلْوٍ مُمَزَّعِي. And I'm optimistic that Allah will allow for blessings and sakina to descend on the body parts after they cut me up and whatever they do with my body. I'm optimistic that Allah will shower His blessings upon me. You know the incident of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, when he came to visit his mum, Asma, and she was 100 years of age. لَمْ يَسْقُطْ لَهَا سِنٌّ, and her teeth was intact, but she was visually impaired, so she had lost her sight. So the mum embraces the son, and then she feels the armor. So the mum says, what's the armor about? So she said, he said, I'm afraid that after I lose my life, they must not mutilate my body. And by the way, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had prohibited us from mutilating the body of any person. I'm having a flush of flesh of so many different Arabic couplets in my mind at this time. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had taken on Abdullah ibn Wud on the occasion of Khandaq, and then he sang those long couplets, La ta'jilanna faqad ataka mujibu sawtika ghayru ajiz fi niyatin wa basiratin wa sidqa manja kulla faiz inni la arju an uqima alayka naihata aljanaiz min darbatin najla yabqa dhikruha inda alhazahiz a'alayya taqtahimul fawarisu hakatha anni wa anhum akhiru ashabi اليوم يمنعني الفرار حفيظتي ومصمم في الرأس ليس بنابي عبد الحجارة من سفاهة رأيه وعبدت رب محمد بصوابي فصدرت حين تركته متجدلا كالجذع بين دكادك وروابي وعففت عن أثوابه ولو أنني كنت المقتر بزني أثوابي لا تحسبن الله خاذل دينه ونبيه يا معشر الأحزاب. That after Sayyidina Ali had concluded the matter with him and he had met his fate, he stepped back out of dignity and he said, I know if Abdullah ibn Wud had the upper hand over me, he would have chopped my body into pieces. But I won't stoop so low and do what he would have done to me. I will respect the dignity of his body. So Asma radiallahu anha asked her son Abdullah, what's the armor for? He said, I'm afraid they might mutilate my body. So Asma radiallahu anha then said, الشات المذبوحة لا يؤلمها السلخ. الشات المذبوحة لا يؤلمها السلخ. When an animal has been slaughtered, then when you skin it, right? نسلخ منه النهار. السلخ, to skin the animal. Then when you skin it, it doesn't feel any pain. Implying to him that if you've given your name or if you've given your life on the name of Allah, then don't concern yourself what your foe and enemy does to your body post your demise. Anyway, that was the amazing valor of Sayyidina Khubayb radiyallahu anhu, that this is what they have done. I'm optimistic that Allah will shower mercy on my body. And then he said, وَقَدْ هَمَلَتْ عَيْنَايَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَجْزَعِي. The moment is so emotional, I'm crying, but Allah knows I'm not crying out of fear of death. I'm crying, it's emotional. Not because I'm apprehensive, not because I'm nervous, not because I'm two-minded. وَقَدْ خَيَّرُونِ الْكُفْرَ وَالْمَوْتَ دُونَهُ. And then they gave me the option and they said, okay, why don't you accept this belief and we will leave you? And for me, this is non-negotiable. This is non-negotiable. How can I even entertain the thought of kufr? Not at all. وَمَا بِحِذَارُ الْمَوْتِ أَنِّي لَمَيِّتُ وَمَا بِحِذَارُ الْمَوْتِ أَنِّي لَمَيِّتُ وَلَكِنْ حِذَارِي جَحْمُ نَارٍ مُلَفَّعِي. I'm not afraid about death. I'm worried about the flames of hell post-death. What's going to happen to me? فَلَسْتُ بِمُبْدٍ لِلْعَدُوِّ تَخَشُّعًا. I'm not going to buckle under pressure and I'm not going to surrender to their dictates. Inni ilallahi marja'i, to Allah is my return. And thereafter, they went ahead and they executed Sayyidina Khubayb radiyallahu anhu. May Allah's choicest blessings be on the blessed soul of Khubayb radiyallahu anhu. We move on. Kayfa faraqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ad-dunya. How did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leave this world? What was his condition? What was the state? What was the financial condition? What was the estate of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Faraqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ad-dunya wa huwa yahkum jazirat al-arab wa yarhabuhu muluk ad-dunya wa tafdihi wa yafdihi ashabuhu bi nufusihim wa awladihim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world while he was ruling over the Arabian Peninsula, while the kings and the rulers and the monarchs of the world feared him, while his companions were prepared to give their lives, their belongings and their family in his honor and devotion. وَمَا تَرَكَ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا أَمَهُ. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave behind a dinar or a dirham or a male servant or a female servant. The only thing he left behind was بَغْلَتُهُ الْبَيْضَى, his white mule mount conveyance. That was he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. Silahuhu, he left behind his some basic weapons that he had. Wa ardan, and a land. Ja'alaha sadaqa, which he had given in charity. Wa dir'uhu marhunatun 'inda yahudiyyin bi 30 sa'an min sha'ir. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given his armor to a Yahudi as a security measure, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken 30 sa' of barley. 30 sa', sa' is a measure. One sa' equals eight handfuls of barley. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken, so as a guarantee, as a security, as collateral, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had then given his armor. So can you imagine, he's leaving the world, the Nabi of Anbiya, the greatest king, human, and Bashar to ever inhabit the planet. There is no servant, slave, wealth, empire, asset, or empire, or anything whatsoever. Nay, his own armor is given as a source of security because he had taken 30 sa'. So one sa' would be 8 handfuls. So if you do the maths, 8 times... 30 would give you the amount of 240, give or take, handfuls of barley that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken from this particular person, and as a security, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given his armor. Can you imagine? And let's look into our lives and what is our condition. I'm reminded about that incident when Bilal ibn Abi Burayda, Muhammad ibn Wasi' came to visit. Muhammad ibn Wasi' was a great scholar, came to visit Bilal ibn Abi Burayda, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahimahullah came to visit Bilal ibn Abi Burayda. So Bilal was in his wealth and his affluence and his glory. He said, كيف ترى بيتنا? What do you say about my house, my palace, my dwelling? So Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahmatullah alayhi said, إن بيتك لطيب والجنة أطيب منه. Your house is beautiful, but Jannah is way more awesome than it. وَذِكْرُ النَّارِ يُلْهِ عَنْهُ. And if you think more often of death, then you will stop admiring your dwellings and your possessions and your mundane things of this world. Then he said, مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ. What's your opinion on qadr and destiny? He said, جِيرَانُكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ فَفَكِّرْ فِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ لَشُغْلًا. There are so many people in your neighborhood that are passing away daily. Why don't you reflect over that and that will preoccupy you, and then you won't go and delve into these intricate and delicate and sensitive questions. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ أَظْلَمَ مِنْهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. Anas radiallahu anhu says that the day Nabi alayhi salam passed away, it was the darkest day, it was the saddest day, and rightfully so. وَبَكَتْ أُمُّ أَيْمَنَ, and Umm Ayman radiallahu anha cried amongst others. فَقِيلَ لَهَا مَا يُبْكِيكَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. What makes you cry so much over the demise of Nabi alayhi salam? قالت إني قد علمت أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سيموت ولكن إنما أبكي على الوحي الذي رفع عنا. I knew for a fact that immortality was not meant for he صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was a mortal and soon he would leave us. But what makes me cry to an added level is that post his demise, the bond between mankind and Allah via revelation now ceases, and this will not be resumed at any point. So at the demise of any other Nabi, there was still the, you know, the continuation of revelation. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا تَتْرَى تَتْرَى مُتَتَابِعَاتٍ. Then our prophets came in succession. So you lament the separation and the demise of one Nabi, but you know revelation continues. وَاللَّهِ مَا أَبِكِ النَّبِيَّ لِمَوْتِهِ وَلَكِنْ لِهَرَجٍ كَانَ بَعْدَكَ آتِيَا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not only cry over your demise as much as I cry about the chaos that would reign on the earth post your demise. The couplets of Nabi alayhi salam's aunt Safiya radiallahu anha. هَوْلُ الْفَاجِعَةِ وَمَوْقِفُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِنْهَا. Now we speak about the sudden tragedy and the matured response of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. قال ابن رجب, ابن رجب حنبلي says, وَلَمَّا تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذْ طَرَبَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. The believers were shocked. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ دُهِشْ. Some were bewildered. They were confused. They were perplexed. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عُقْعِدَ فَلَمْ يُطِقْ الْقِيَامِ. Some sat down and just became lump. They couldn't stand up. Their feet were lame. They just couldn't have the courage to stand up. Appreciate the gravity of the tragedy. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ اعْتُقِلَ لِسَانُهُ. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ اعْتُقِلَ لِسَانُهُ فَلَمْ يُطِقِ الْكَلَامِ. Some were those that were stunned. They couldn't speak. They couldn't utter a word. They were just mute. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ مَوْتَهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. And some went into total denial. Nabi Sassam hasn't passed away. He hasn't. He just has not passed away. And that's one of the responses that happens when you hear of a tragedy. Your body goes into denial. You go into denial. Doctors suggest that there might be some early stages of cancer. No, no, no. Who said so? Who are the doctors? They cannot decide. There's always another opinion. It doesn't have to be. I know so-and-so, they claim this, but it wasn't. So your body is fighting. You're resisting because you don't want to make peace. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ مَوْتَهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. Some were those that denied the entire concept of the fact that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. So some were shocked, some were bewildered, some were mute, some couldn't get up, and others were in denial phase, respectfully speaking so. قَالَ الْقُرْتُبِي مُبَيِّنًا عِظَمُ هَذِهِ الْمُصِيبَةِ وَمَا تَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ أُمُورٍ. Imam Qurtubi speaks about the gravity of this tragedy and the subsequent effects of this year. Min a'zami al-masa'ib, he writes, amongst the greatest of tragedies that could come, the greatest of afflictions, al-musibatu fid-deen, is the affliction in your faith and your religion. So you could be afflicted in your wealth, in your health, in your finances, and then you are tested or tried or challenged in your faith. And the most challenging things is when you are afflicted in your faith. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أصاب أحدكم مصيبة فليذكر مصابه بي فإنها أعظم المصائب. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when any one of you is afflicted with any trial, he should reflect how he was afflicted with my death. He should reflect over how he was afflicted with my death. فَإِنَّهَا أَعْظَمُ الْمَصَائِبِ, because surely that is the most difficult of afflictions that gripped any person. وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَنَّ الْمُصِيبَةَ بِهِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ كُلِّ مُصِيبَةٍ يُصَابُ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمُ بَعْدَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And rightfully so, no believer would ever be tested or challenged or afflicted with any tragedy till Qiyamah, as was the case with the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To start off, apart from his demise and the fact that he had moved on in Qata' al-Wahyu, it signaled the termination of revelation. وَمَاتَتِ النُّبُوَّةِ Prophethood now became something of the past. There was no longer a chain or a continuation or a succession. This was now done and concluded and was over. وَكَانَ أَوَّلَ ظُهُورِ الشَّرِّ بِإِرْتِدَادِ الْعَرَبِ One of the first vices that gripped and rocked Arabia and the surrounding areas was the apostasy of the certain tribes and certain people. They became apostate. They exploited the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they then started their own campaigns, creating the whole notion of false prophets. And of course, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forewarned and cautioned the Sahaba about it. وَكَانَ أَوَّلَ إِنْقِطَاعِ الْخَيْرِ And this was now the ending of that golden era, which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had alluded to, that he said when a thing reaches its completion and culmination, then it starts to dip down and decline. And precisely as he anticipated or was afraid of, things started happening like that. Of course, that was now the golden era, the best of era, the period of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the truth be told, that era had now somewhat ended. لقد أذهل نبأ الوفاة عمر رضي الله عنه فصار يتوعد وينذر من يزعم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مات ويقول ما مات ولكنه ذهب إلى ربه كما ذهب موسى فقد غاب عن قومه 40 ليلة ثم رجع إليهم The great giant, legend, veteran, stalwart like Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه In the moment, even he momentarily lost his composure and balance. And he said that, how dare anyone says that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam had passed on. He has not passed on. He went to visit his Lord and he will return. Just like Musa alayhi salam went to Mount Tur and visited and received the Torah and spent 40 nights and returned. So he latched on to that. And obviously it was that intense love that was not allowing him to make peace with the fact that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had moved on. Now there's so many incidents we could use to explain the love of the Sahaba so that we can contextualize the extent of their grief, but then we probably won't move forward from this particular aspect. ولما سمع and this the focus of this aspect is to highlight the intellectual maturity of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We salute Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and we salute every other Sahabi radiallahu anhum. But just to appreciate how Abu Bakr navigated in these stormy waters. And again, this is a message we need to learn. This is a message we need to learn, that the more we can restore calm, composure and balance, the more it's going to help the situation. وَلَمَّا سَمِعَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ الْخَبْرَ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى فَرَسٍ مِّن مَسْكَنِهِ When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard. Now, if you recall, and as we were following along, the day when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam slightly recovered, and Abu Bakr latched onto a potential hope of total recovery, he then excused himself and went to visit one of his other spouses, and he thought that Nabi alayhi salam is now on the road of recovery, hence he excused himself, and he barely got there to hear the news that sadly, tragically, he sallallahu alayhi wasalam had passed on. He returns, حتى نزل, he dismounts, فدخل المسجد, he enters the masjid, فلم يكلم الناس, he doesn't utter a word. There is no words of any language that can aptly describe the emotions of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at that time. You're not talking of the head of a state, you're not talking of a celebrity, you're not talking of a dignitary, you're not talking of a prominent personality, you're talking of the greatest human, the greatest creation that Allah has ever created. And the closest to him was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So nobody has ever experienced that level of closeness, attachment, and hence that level of separation to create a relation or to tie it up with a different scenario. فَلَمْ يُكَلِّمِ النَّاسِ Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't utter a word. حَتَّى دَخَلَ عَلَىٰ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ عَنْهَا He then entered by Aisha radiallahu anha. فَتَيَمَّمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ مُغَشًّا بِثَوْبٍ And then he entered and he intended to go straight to Nabi alayhi salam, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blessed face was now covered. So when Abu Bakr left, there was still Nabi alayhi salam was alive, although he was very weak and frail, he was in the last moments. But now when he came, the truth had occurred, and the moment had come to pass, and Nabi alayhi salam's blessed face was covered. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then moved the cloth, kissed Nabi alayhi salam between his blessed eyes on his forelock, and that is where we've been taught to kiss if we kiss the deceased. قَبَّلَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Uthman ibn Maz'un was the first muhajir who passed away in Medina, and Nabi alayhi salam kissed him also on his forelock. And when Zainab radiallahu anha passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِلْحَقِي بِسَلَفِنَا Uthman ibn Maz'un. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu kissed Nabi alayhi salam on his forelock, and he said, طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are beautiful, you are amazing when you are alive, and you are equally beautiful and equally amazing now that you have moved on. Can you imagine the shoulders of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? فَكَشَفَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ ثُمَّ أَكَبَّ عَلَيْهِ فَقَبَّلَهُ وَبَكَى ثُمَّ قَالْ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي وَاللَّهِ لَا يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مَوْتَتَيْنَ أَمَّا الْمَوْتَةُ الْأُولَى فَقَدْ مُتَّهَا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then said, Allah will never combine two deaths upon you. The scholars of hadith say this was now refuting in a subtle way the claim of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu was hinting to a possibility that maybe Nabi alayhi salam has passed away for a period and he will return back, and then subsequently he will die another death. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was now refuting this. Allah will not subject you to two times death. Allah will not subject you to two deaths. You've passed on once and that's it, and now there will be no second death to you, O my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَخَرَجَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ يَتَكَلَّمْ. Abu Bakr then exited from the house. Abu Bakr needs to be comforted himself. This is the challenge, because he's experiencing it the most. But subhanallah, how broad were his shoulders, how amazing was his integrity. The brain freezes to begin to comprehend. You know, how often when there's a crisis, and each one of us can relate to it, that you need to now deal with other people who cannot manage their emotions in the crisis. So there's a tragedy, and now, you know, he needs to be rushed to the clinic, or you need medical intervention here, or you need the, you know what, 911 to come out, you need emergency services, and someone else has turned hysterical looking at that, and you've got to sedate that person and manage him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is experiencing the greatest emotion, but subhanallah, he is now giving direction to the ummah. The ummah in its entirety remain indebted to every sahabi, more so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَقَالَ اِجْلِسْ يَا عُمَرْ. He said, Umar sat down, وَهُوَ مَاضٍ فِي كَلَامِهِ. And Umar was moving in his flow, repeating what he was saying. وَفِي ثَوْرَةِ غَضَبِهِ. And he was in his rage, and he was in his emotions. فَقَامَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فِي النَّاسِ خَطِيبًا بَعْدَ أَنْ حَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. Abu Bakr then ascended the pulpit. Now can you imagine, the last to stand on that pulpit was Nabi alayhi salam, and now Abu Bakr has come on, signaling that era has ended, and the door and the era and the period of Abu Bakr has commenced. So you are familiar with seeing Nabi alayhi salam on that place. You know, that's where your dad sat, that's what your teacher said, that's where your mum ate, and now to find someone else there, it's difficult. And these are regular humans and mortals and average people. This is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Abu Bakr stood up and he said, Amma ba'd, after praising Allah, فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدْ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever worshipped Nabi alayhi salam should realize, know and understand that the truth be told, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam has moved on. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. And whoever worships Allah, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. You say, I trust my brother, I trust my friend, I trust my teacher, I trust my physician. Allah said, don't trust those that are living which will be gripped by death. These are all that are subject to death. إِنَّ الَّذِي أَنْتَ تَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ. مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ. He might be one above you, but then he also is a beggar in his own capacity. He also is subject to someone greater to him. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. rely on that being who is ever living by himself and will never be subjected to death. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited this verse. Now, I want to conclude today on this note here. So often, when a person is gripped by emotions, you forget your phone number. Leave alone remembering the detailed intricacies. People ask phone number, your ID number. I'm hysterical. The mind is not there. The composure is not there. Basic, your physical address, I don't know. Your dad's name, next of kin. What are you talking? Person loses his or her balance. And you can ask the scholars, so many a times you give a talk, and then after you complete your lecture, after the completion of the lecture, you have a reflection, oh, but this ayah would have been appropriate. Oh, this hadith would have been appropriate. And you're in a relatively calm position, not that there's any stress or anxiety. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is shouldering the greatest tragedy. And at that time, for his mind to go to the verse of the Quran, and nobody else's mind is going in that direction. My word, subhanallah. This is just no short of a miracle. This is no short of speaking about the lofty rank, status, and position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His mind went immediately to the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had previously warned them on the occasion of Uhud, when the rumor of the assassination of Nabi alayhi salam was wrongly circulated. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِمَّا أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. And the truth be told, when there's so many opinions, and you try and counter an opinion with an opinion, you cannot bring silence to the floor and to the hall and to the auditorium. But when you bring Quran, that is something that can bring silence. That is something on which we can unite. You have a view, I have a view. You have an opinion, I have an opinion. You have a thought, I have a thought. But when you bring Quran, that is decisive. So everybody is saying, can you imagine the atmosphere, the confusion, the back and forth, etc. And then Abu Bakr just comes, and I can just imagine how it pierces through the atmosphere, recites the verse of the Quran, where Allah says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the messenger of Allah, and he was preceded by Anbiya. Let it not be that if he passes on, then you turn on your heels, and if you do so, then you will not harm Allah in any way. قال عمر فوالله ما إن سمعت أبا بكر تلاها هويت إلى الأرض ما تحملني قدماي وعلمت أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد مات. I stood outside in my confusion, and I was pacing up and down, waiting for an answer, hoping that it's not real, in a denial state, anticipating a return. Abu Bakr came and he openly proclaimed that verse. And as he read the verse, it pierced through my heart and I just collapsed. And my feet could no longer lift me. And I just dropped down and I was on the ground. And I had to make peace and accept the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had moved on. Qurtubi says, هذه الآية أدل دليل على شجاعة الصديق. This ayah speaks volumes on the bravery of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then he writes something very amazing. We'll elaborate on it tomorrow. He says, what is the definition of bravery? ثبوت القلب عند حلول المصائب. Bravery is not muscle and strength and that's it. To manage yourself, to contain yourself, to regulate yourself at the time of an affliction, to hold and manage yourself at that moment, that is bravery. And this is what I marvel at. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prepared an ummah that could guide the nations till the day of Qiyamah. And he also prepared this ummah, and it could be only this ummah that could bear his demise and move on from there. It could be no one else. It could be no one else that could hold on to this moment, because this itself was a challenge. This itself was a challenge, and nay, it was the greatest challenge. But post the demise of Nabi alayhi salam to stand up, we grapple to carry on with the legacy of our late father post his demise. We grapple to keep one business together and the brothers get divided. We grapple to stay in a common house and the siblings get divided. We grapple to keep the Eids together post the demise of simple basic practices of the senior folks that kept the families together. But it was only the strength of Sahaba that could keep the wheel turning and remain committed to the cause. And this indeed is a testimony to the bravery of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. ولا مصيبة أعظم من موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فظهرت عنده شجاعة أبي بكر. There can be no greater affliction than the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and hence this speaks volumes about the bravery of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. قال الناس لم يمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some people said Nabi alayhi salam had not passed away. Amongst them was Sayyidina Umar. وخرس عثمان. Some became mute and silent. Some was تخفي عليٌ. Some were just in hiding and they just held back. واضطرب الأمر. Some were perplexed. They were bewildered. They were confused. فكشف الصديق بهذه الآية حين قدومه من مسكنه. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and restored calm, and he showed the people that the truth be told, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has passed on. Wallahi, the ummah remains indebted to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah shower his choices, blessings upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and hence Allah privileged him with the great opportunity to rest alongside the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as we said, respected listeners, these were the final moments in the life of the greatest human. We need to reflect and introspect. Where will I be going? In fact, I often say we could well be passing our place of death daily. How often you say he commutes daily from here, and one day on that same road he met up in an accident. So who knows, we could be passing the very location where we will one day be lying as a mayyit daily. We need to reflect. Allah says the earth, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتَ أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتَ. That the back of the earth houses the living, while the belly of the earth houses the deceased. May Allah bless us with a good death and an easy death. وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.